الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الواحد القاهر العزيز الغفار. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. We continue with the explanation of Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter of the Quran. And we stopped last time on the 10th verse of this surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He defines our relationship as Muslims. And as Sheikh Al-Bayani, is one scholar who wrote a tafsir on Surah Al-Hujurat, he said these behaviors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to talk about from the 10th verse on to around the 13th verse are called Ummahatul Akhlaq, the foundations of behavior. And more importantly, the foundations of how we act as a society. Because the first five verses dealt with how we act with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet and the Quran and Sharia. And then from around the 7th verse on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to give us ways which we can function as a society. How we are supposed to function. How we are supposed to function in the MCA. How we are supposed to function in the MSA. How we're supposed to function as Muslims in a social level. You're getting this completely, mashallah, from this surah. And he began at this verse, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى said, إِنَّمَا لِحَسِيرٌ يعني. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, only the believers, they are brothers. And this is the beginning of our understanding of who we are when we see each other. This is my brother. This is my brother. This is my sister. This is my brother, this is my sister. This is the first thing. And now, from the 12th verse, excuse me, the 11th verse, inshallah, through the 13th verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to outline specific behaviors. Because this is the beauty of the Qur'an, and the beauty of this deen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't mention something and did not tell you how to do it. He mentioned something like, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book, there is no doubt in it. A guidance for those who have taqwa. Maybe someone says, how can I know if I'm from the people of taqwa? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Then in the next verses of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He begins to explain who are the people of taqwa, the people who observe salah, the people who believe in the unseen, the people who believe in the nabuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those prophets alayhi salam before him, those people who have certainty in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it. Also here, in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. That the believers are brothers. How? And sisters. How can we actualize this brotherhood and this sisterhood is going to come now. If you really want to be a true Muslim brother to your brother or to your sister or vice versa, a sister to your brother or sister, then you're going to start to put these verses into practice. Today I was talking to a brother on the phone. And he knows that we're having this tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat. And he mentioned something about some people, he said, but I'm not suspicioning them. Because he's in the vibe of this surah. The goals that this surah has. So now we're going to start to talk about, as we say in Oklahoma, the meat and potatoes. How can I actualize my brotherhood? That my brotherhood and sisterhood is not just based on warm fuzzies and feeling good about each other. But that my brotherhood and my sisterhood involves certain actions and certain characteristics which caused me to live up to the morals of Islam. And it involves what we call work. We have to work hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to talk tonight about 6 issues inshaAllah. And all of them are prohibitions. All of them are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden to us. The first one is that we have been forbidden to make fun of people. The second one is that we should not discredit anyone. And we're going to talk about how we can discredit people according to these verses. The third is we should not insult people with bad nicknames. The fourth one is we should avoid some suspicion. And I'll tell you why I said some and not all. We should avoid spying on people. This doesn't mean, yani, James Bond. We'll inshallah talk about what we mean by spying on people. And we should avoid backbiting people. So these things. Number one, making fun of others. Number two, to discredit people. Number three, to insult others with bad nicknames. Number four, to avoid some suspicion. Number five, to avoid spying on each other. And number six, to avoid backbiting. One thing we should understand as Muslims, and this is one of the principles of the Sharia, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something haram, or whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam orders us to do something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, there are two important points that we attach to anything that's haram according to the theological outlook of the Sharia. The first is anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden for us, it is in itself nasty and evil. Anything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram, it is considered something nasty and sinful by nature. Like father, like daughter, inshallah. She'll be, khatib for the sisters, I don't know. The second one is that anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us to do, is good for us and easy for us. And the goal of making it haram and forbidden is to make life easy. To make life easy. So two things. One, and Shaqqa Rabawi, he talked about this in his book, Al-Haram Al-Halal Fi Islam, the lawful and prohibited in Islam. But this is a principle that all the scholars, they mentioned in the Sharia. That number one, when something is forbidden, it is detestable. Number two, when something is forbidden, it means that it has been forbidden to make my life easy. As Allah says in Surah An-Nisa, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make things easy for you. As Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ وَيُسْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to facilitate things for you. So subhanAllah, quick lesson we can take from this is, anything around me that Allah has forbidden, and internally I feel like it's hard not to do it, I should remind myself that in its nature, it is harmful to me, and secondly, if I stay away from it, it is a means of making things easy for me. And this will make leaving sin, inshallah, easy for the Muslim. Simple for the Muslim, when we think this way. And the proof that the scholars take is from the 7th chapter of the Qur'an. The 7th chapter, verse number 174. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes halal for them what's good for them. And he forbids them what is bad for them. And then he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this verse is going to loosen the burdens which were on their neck. And loosening the burden, as Ibn Kathir he mentioned, which was on the neck of the people, is that by following these orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things are made easy for them. في الدنيا والآخرة, inshaAllah ta'ala. So now in the 11th verse, we want to talk about 3 things, which inshaAllah if we act on them, and we practice them, will inshaAllah, with sincerity, will inshaAllah bring about our true brotherhood, and our true sisterhood, something that's missing. It's now, if you watch the Discovery Channel, the ukhuwa of the Muslims is on the endangered species list. So by following these precepts, which the Qur'an has given me, it's a means to, inshaAllah, make the brotherhood khalis liwajhillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala bayna qulubna, inshaAllah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, inshaAllah, brothers and sisters for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونُوا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الِاسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَن لَّمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, do not, and this do not is an order. It is an order. That's why the noon in the af'ala khamsa is cancelled, if you understand Arabic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the la called lam and nahi. It is an order. You are not allowed. And it should be understood in this way. It should not be translated, O you who believe, do not let. But it should be, you must not allow other people to make fun of other people. Because perhaps the person that they're making fun of is better than them. And do not allow women to make fun of other women. For perhaps the women that they are making fun of are better than them. And do not discredit each other, nor call on each other with bad nicknames. And the worst name after iman, after faith, is the name of rebellion. And whoever does not repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed, this person is from the people who are oppressors. They are oppressors. The tafsir of this verse by Dr. Wahb al-Zuhayri, he said the following, but before, I think it's important to give you a statement of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Mas'ud was one of the great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was in the area of Iraq. And he was one of the people who led Abu Hanifa to develop his madhab in the way that he did by the style of teaching of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he said something to us. He said, whenever you hear, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, O you who profess belief on Allah. He said, at the moment you hear this, gather your hearing. We talked about this in the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. And put your hearing on what Allah is about to say to you. Because he said, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, only one of two things can happen. One is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to encourage you to do something which is good for you. And the second is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forbid you from doing something that will what? Will harm you. Again, subhanAllah, we go back to the point we made. That everything in sharia that's made haram or halal is for the masalih of the ibad. It's for the benefit of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanAllah, when I pray, if I understand Arabic, or if I understand a little Arabic, because everybody, mashallah, they basically know, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. When I hear the imam recited in salah, let me listen very carefully. When I'm at home reading the Quran, even if I'm reading in English, or Arabic, or whatever language I'm reading on, reading it in, when I come to the statement, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, don't be sleeping. Because when you read the statement, first of all, if somebody calls you by your name, what do? You answer. So now Allah is calling those people who believe. We want to answer this call. And what's the proof of the answer? Is to listen. And to pay attention. And to try to act on it. So now Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Everybody in this room should be like, huh, that's me. That's me. Because inshaAllah, I'm from alladhina amanu billah. Allah says, O you who believe, you are not allowed to allow a people to make fun of another people. Because perhaps the people they are making fun of are better than them. The Shaykh, he said, O you believers in Allah and His Messenger, don't let people make fun of other people, for perhaps the one being made fun of is better and more dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the one who's making fun of them. And the same for women. Don't let them make fun of other women. And do not discredit others. Because when you do this to your fellow brother, you are in fact doing it to yourself. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِرَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Nisa, do not kill yourselves. We'll talk about what that means. And the Prophet said, the believer is the mirror of the believer. So when somebody makes fun of another Muslim and they're Muslim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, that our relationship is only based on brotherhood. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْمُؤْمِنَ الْمُؤْمِنَ كَالْبُنْيَانِ, that the believer to the other believer is like a building. In another narration he said that the example of the believers, all this hadith sahih, that the example of the believers is like one body. So how many of us were going to take a finger and start making fun of ourselves? Your nose is ugly. Your eyes are weird. You're stupid. You will not do it. But subhanAllah, when we make fun of our fellow Muslim brother and sister, it is the same as though we make in fun of ourselves. So he said, do not discredit each other, nor make fun of each other with evil nicknames, or call each other with evil nicknames. Indeed, the worst name after fisk, rebellion, the worst name after faith is the name of rebellion. And whoever fails to repent from these actions, he says, from making fun of people, from discrediting people, from calling people by bad names, whoever fails to do this, then they are oppressors. Who are they the oppressors of? They are oppressors of the one that they're doing it to, but most importantly, they are the oppressors of themselves. Because when you sin, you are, as the Shaykh he mentioned, you are pushing yourself into the adab of Allah, the punishment of Allah. And the only type of thing which would push someone into the adab of Allah is an oppressor. So now the person has begun to oppress his or herself. Why was this verse sent? There's a few reasons why. In Medina, the tribe Banu Tamim, and Banu Tamim, they keep coming up in the surah. These guys must have been active in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Banu Tamim, they came to Medina, and they saw people like Suhaib al-Rumi, and Bilal, and Salman, and Ammar. And these four people in particular, they were slaves before. They were abid. They were the servants of others. So when Banu Tamim came into Medina, they were like, ah, I used to be a slave. And they began to make fun of them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent this verse. O you who believe, you are not allowed to let another person make fun of another person. Safiya bintul Hayy, she was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was before a Jewish woman. And the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to tease her. And they used to say, you are the son, you are the daughter of a Jew. So she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ya Rasulullah, alayhi salatu salam, they keep saying this to me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her, inna abaki Harun, wa ammaki Musa, wa zawjaki Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to her, indeed, your father was Harun. Because her father, his lineage was actually to Yaqub. So he said to her, your father was Harun. And your uncle is Musa. And your husband is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then she went back to the other wives and she said, oh yeah? Zawji Muhammad wa abi Harun wa ammi Musa alayhim salam. Then after that they were quiet. She said, my husband is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my uncle is who? Is Musa. And my father is Harun. SubhanAllah, a quick lesson we can take from this is how the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were proud to be attached to the deen. Like nowadays someone comes and says, I played one-on-one with Allen Iverson. Oh, I got some shoes just like J-Lo. Oh, mashallah, your voice sounds just like Umm Kuthum. Oh, this, oh, that. We are proud with ma'asi. But the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were proud to be attached to this deen. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that izzah, that might and greatness is for Allah. So whoever attaches them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to be raised. And the Prophet, Whoever attached himself close to Rasulullah is going to be raised, and the believers. So we see Safiya radiallahu anha, this sign of tarbiyah. How many of us, when we go outside with our hijab on, we feel proud? And this type of pride, by the way, is acceptable in Islam. How many of us as brothers, when we have a beard, or we say at our work, you know, in the meeting, you know, one of those cooperative group sessions, what's your name? Oh, my name is Muhammad. Do we feel, subhanAllah, this pride that we find Safiya bint Huyi, radiallahu anha, she has, when she goes back to the wives of the Prophet and says, my husband is Muhammad, my uncle is Musa, and my father is Harun. So subhanAllah, we see sometimes through the stories, the understanding of the Sahaba, how they looked at life much differently than people do nowadays. And when subhanAllah, she went to the Prophet and she said this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he revealed the part about not letting women make fun of other women. Somebody said it was about, some people said, some ulama said, this was sent about Salama radiallahu anha, because she was short. And some people, they were making fun of her because she was short. One thing also we can take from this example is that the Sahaba were not robots. That they lived a life sometimes similar to us. Sometimes people used to tease people. Sometimes people used to make fun of people. Sometimes people used to call each other by nicknames. It wasn't Jannah. Jannah is Jannah. And sometimes we fail to understand this. Ikrama, the son of Abu Jahl, he accepted Islam. And by the way, mashallah, he became a great assistant to the Prophet ﷺ, and he was a shaheed. And Ikrama, when he became Muslim, they used to say, هذا ابن فرعون هذه الأمة. People in Medina, when they would see him, they would say, this is the son of Fir'aun. After Abu Jahl had died. So they would see him, As-salamu alaykum, ya abna Fir'aun. As-salamu alaykum, O son of Fir'aun. How are you, O son of Fir'aun? SubhanAllah, he's a human being. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him, man, people calling me the son of Fir'aun. And alhamdulillah, I'm Muslim. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent these verses. Another part of the verse that also has some asbab al-nuzul is the part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not call each other by bad nicknames. We mentioned one, akrama. The second is the Prophet himself. One time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting and he was calling one guy by the name that the Prophet knew of him. It wasn't a bad name. But the people, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, ya Rasulullah, he doesn't like this name. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, and don't call each other by nicknames, degrading nicknames. Some practical lessons we can take from this verse for today's time. Because it's important that we put the nusus al-sharia in the context of where we are. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he said two things which the mufti he needs, the one who makes a fatwa. First of all, he has to have the knowledge of the sharia. And secondly, the place. That's why one time, subhanAllah, a sheikh, he came from Saudi Arabia to Oklahoma City. And he was given fatwa. He was, mashallah, a sheikh. And I remember the imam of our masjid, he went to him and he said, be careful. You've only been here like 3 days. Then, subhanAllah, he remembered. And he said to him, wallahi, from this day forward, I'm not going to give fatwa till I stay here for a long time. Because I remember this condition of the mufti. That the mufti has to be in the place of the people before he give the fatwa, to understand the condition of the people, as mentioned by Ibn Qayyim al-A'lam waqi'in al-Rabbil Alameen. So this verse, we want to put it in the context of the hood, or the burbs, wherever you are. So we can, inshaAllah, extract some benefit in building our brotherhood. The first one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا يسخر قوم. Don't let a people make fun of another people. Qawm, it means people in general. But after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned people in general, then he said, وَلَا نِسَاءُ النِّسَاءُ. And don't let women make fun of women. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say people? Because women are inclusive of people. Then mention women. First of all, according to the Arabic language, قَوْم, قَوَمَ يَقُومُ, قَوْمَ يَقُومُ. It means to stand. Come from the word which means to stand or make straight, according to the scholars of the language. And according to one mufassir about this verse, he said, initially, in the olden days, Qawm, it just meant men. The word qawm was only applied to men, not women. Why? Because men have to stand. And they have to make their affairs straight. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الرجال قوامون على النساء. Translated as men are the maintainers of women. But sisters, today I found a translation I think you would like better. Men stand up for the honor of their women. Yeah, you can use that one on your husband now. Right? And make their affairs good. Take care of them. Make sure that their life can stand up. No collecting welfare. The brother's a man. رجل من رجل. So men stand. They are qawm because they stand. And they do what's right in society. That's why the Muslim man, we don't have something called a stoic Muslim. Sometimes you might meet a Muslim brother in the masjid and you say, MashaAllah brother, you want to attend the halaqah of the sheikh? We're going to have tonight Quran with Sheikh Ala. And he says, you know, I'm an inactive Muslim. Those of you in the medical profession, what does inactive actually mean when you use that in the reference of a human body? They're no longer active. What does it mean when we say they're no longer active? They're dead. So you are dead. So alhamdulillah, we're going to have the inactive Muslim, alhamdulillah. Because he's alive. Are we going to pray janazah on your Habibi? So the man, he stands up. And they're active in society. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْتِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. Stand up for justice. So the Muslim personality is one which stands up for the rightness of affairs. Then Allah mentioned women. But by the way, the Sharia, according to the Shaykh, he said, but in the Nusus of Sharia, except in this verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word qawm, he means men and women. As Ibn Rushd, he mentioned, and also Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses words like this, automatically we know it means men and women. Unless he specifies, and here we find the specification. So Allah says that men, don't allow other men to make fun of other people. Because perhaps the people that are making fun of are better than them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions women. And do not allow women to make fun of other women. Some scholars said that qawm, it means men and women. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out women because women are up to constantly make fun of each other. So because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a principle in usul al-fiqh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize, like I told you before, you have the biryani, and you take out the masala. The masala is part of the biryani, but you took it out, why? To emphasize it. So here's the qawm, women are part of qawm, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the women, why? To show you women, watch yourself when it comes to this. Because how many marriages was destroyed by mother-in-laws? And cousins. And these marriages are destroyed where? On the phone. And this is a reality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, also don't allow women to make fun of other women. And this includes your wives, my wife, and our daughters, and the women in our families. That when they're on the phone in the daytime, if they're not working and they're on the phone, or they're not in school and they're on the phone, remind them to watch your tongue. Watch what you say. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered this. Also sisters, remind your husband. Watch what you say. It is important to realize that when somebody makes fun of the Muslims, they have in fact taken on the characteristic of the kuffar of Mecca. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 212, that shaitan, the devil, has beautified the life of this dunya for the disbelievers, and the disbelievers are يَسْخَرُونَ سَخِرَ يَسْخَرُوا فَهِمَ يَفْهَمُوا. They are mocking and making fun of the believers. In Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the conditions, the social conditions of Mecca. Sometimes people come to me and say, man, when people know I'm a Muslim, they start to look at me different. Sometimes sisters say, you know, when I wear hijab, people start to like do like this to me. Look at her. Look at her. This is nothing new. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Mecca, when the Muslims would be walking through Mecca, the disbelievers, they would be making fun of them by their eyes and by how they looked at them. So when somebody makes fun of the Muslims, they have dressed themselves in the cloak of Jahiliyyah, which existed before the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not discredit people. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And the ulama, they said, actually this discrediting can come through a few ways. First is with your tongue, with ghibah. وَإِلُوا لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. الْهُمَز, it means that you're talking. الْلُمَز means you're spreading it, doing it by actions. One way to discredit people is to talk badly about them. The second way is by making those faces that we talked about earlier, like, mm-hmm. And how many of you kids, you do that to your parents? Oh, I never thought about that before. Better start thinking. How many parents, we do this to our children, or to our wives, or to our husbands, without even thinking about it? So discrediting people by speech and by actions. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forbid us to call each other by repulsive nicknames. And this one, it's unbelievable how common it is. Yo, what's up, cuz? Yo, what's up, dog? What's up, G? Says, عمي إنجليزية. If I translated it in Arabic, I'd get beat up. Yo, what's up, ugly cuz? I knew a guy named ugly cuz before. Really. These nicknames that we use. And sometimes we don't even mean to hurt anyone. But the meaning of it is repulsive. Then we should stop. And what did the Prophet ﷺ do to counter this concept of bad nicknames? Because it existed in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Like one time somebody came to the Prophet and said, my name is Qabih. My name is Ugly. The Prophet ﷺ, he changed the name to Jameel. No, your name is beautiful. Some people that came to the Prophet, they said, my name is Sakran. My name is drunk. Prophet ﷺ would change the name, your name is Aqeel. No, your name is the intelligent one. What did Islam give us that allows us to protect ourselves from these nicknames is the laqab. This existed even before the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, but it was used in the right way under Rasulullah ﷺ. The laqab is like a nickname that you earn because of some qualities that you have. And for those of us who have children, as we're going to give you the quote of Umar radiallahu anhu, sometime a laqab is an essential part of the tarbiyah of your kids. For example, the laqab of Abu Bakr is Siddiq or Atiq. He has a few of them. Sahib. Sahib fil ghar. The companion in the cave. The one who was saved from hellfire. And the most famous name of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the truthful. Umar, his laqab was what? Al-Faruq. The one who can discern between truth and falsehood. A criterion between evil and goodness. So also we take a rule in that if you have a nickname, and your friends call you this nickname, and it's good, no problem. And you don't mind being called it. Because even if it's good, and you don't like it, they have to stop. You know what Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, those of you who have young boys and young girls, he said, subhanallah, spread the nickname, for it leads to incentives. And he spread the nickname amongst yourself, for it will lead to incentives. For example, if you have a son, and you give him, his name is Umar, but you call him Hafiz. So when he's become older, he's going to come to you. Why you call me Hafiz? My name is Umar. Because I hope inshallah you'll be Hafiz al-Quran. Then that becomes part of his personality. You have a young girl. You tell her, Alima, the knowledgeable girl. And she comes to you, my name is Fatima. Why you call me Alima? Because I hope inshallah ta'ala you'll become from the ulama of this nation. Then it becomes part of her personality. So you give the nice laqab sometimes to the young people and even to the youth. Why? To give them incentives to be good people. And this is something from the leadership of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which hasn't been studied. And I'll prove to you, those of you who work in the Fortune 500 environment, it's common to break up the departments into teams, and what do? To the teams, they give them names. Why do they give them names? So they can live up to those names. Look at sports. Have you ever seen a sports team called the losers? No. Always they give some type of name which will cause the people to aspire to noble qualities, to victory. Even the army, the US Army, they have different battalions. And each battalion, they gave them different names so they can take on the quality of those names. Even war now, since the Gulf War, from that time on, now you have names like Operation Enduring Freedom, Desert Fox. Why? So the soldiers, although it might be a deception, can live up to the values of those names. And subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was doing this over 1400 years ago. And this aspect of the leadership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has yet to be studied. But all of the qualities that he has, alayhi salatu wasalam, that these leadership professionals, these ulama, have listed, they are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this one they have yet to discover. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, give nicknames so it will spread incentive. So like if you're an MSA, you can give each part of it a nickname. For example, if you have some sisters and your friends, you know, I saw this quality in you, I think your name should be this. I think your name should be that. And we call each other these names. Between ourselves, you don't have to broadcast it, yani. So why you can live up to these qualities of the nickname and avoid the qualities of a bad name. The ulama also made the hukum. They said that a son or daughter who was given a name by their parents that they dislike, their parents should change it. Don't start no fights, please. Okay. A good example of this is one time a man, he came to a sheikh. The sheikh said to him, Sheikh Ahmed Zaki, he said to him, what's your name? He said, my name is Sharul Bariya. He said, my name is Sharul Bariya. My name is the worst of creation. The sheikh, he asked him, how come يعني, you have this name? He said, because when I was born, my parents, they opened the Quran and they went like that. And it fell in Surah Al-Bayna on إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَبْرُ شَرُّ بَرِيَّةٍ. The sheikh, he said, no, you are خَيْرُ بَرِيَّةٍ inshallah. You are the best of creation. Sometimes we make this mistake in the Quran. We choose a name, mashallah, it's good to take a name from the Quran. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, barakah. But don't just go like that. What if you land on Fir'aun? What if you land on Lut, the people of Lut? What if you land on An-Nar? What if you land on Shaitan? So it's important when we name our children, and one of the huquq of the children, because the huquq of the child been divided into two in Sharia. Before creation, meaning before they're born, and after. And one of the rights of the child on the parents after their birth is the good name. That you give them a good name. Also, when we play basketball, brothers, or when we hang out, sisters, we should not use these bad names. Because we are doing something which is forbidden in Sharia, and it is a means of destroying our brotherhood. Isn't it amazing, subhanAllah, how sacred is the brotherhood of the Muslims, that in these two verses, 6 to 7, prohibitions been given. Why? For the sake of brotherhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibiting about 7 things. Why? To preserve the brotherhood of the Muslims. And from that we should feel the sanctity of our brotherhood. and our sisterhood. Lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whoever does not repent from these things, from backbiting, from making fun of people, from using bad nicknames, then indeed these people are oppressors. At-tawbah, repentance, taba yatubu. You know, tawbah came from the word it means to turn, taba. Tabu suhaib min al-nas, suhaib turned from it. Okay? So when somebody make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they turn from their sin to the obedience of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it the name At-Tawbah. You turn from it. And when you turn from something, that's it. It's over. And now you face Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. And the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah has some conditions. Some people, they think, for example, you know, last night I went to the club, I danced with Britney Spears. Allahumma ighfir li wa rhamni, alhamdulillah, I'm alright. This is not tawbah, ya Shaykh. This is taw without the ba' or the tan marbuta. You got a little bit. Actually, the ulama said that a correct repentance has the following three shurut. The first one is we should feel sorry for the sin. When we do something, we should feel like we did something wrong. That we did something which really is reprehensible in this deen. Because who we sinned against? We sinned against the one who gave us a home, ard, al-ard, the earth, the one who's feeding us, the one who gave us the sun, the one who gave us our life, the one who brought us from nothing. How can we sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who gave you everything you need? قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah said, it is He who caused you to be nurtured and gave you sight and hearing and even your feelings, and little is the things you give for Him. Ibn Kathir said, it means that most people use their eyes and their feelings and their hearing for disobedience instead of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is we should leave the sin immediately. Sometimes, you know, you do something wrong and then you start to repent. Allahumma ighfirli warhamni. When can I do it again? Allahumma ighfirli warhamni. Internally, shaitan starts to tell you, but you know you want to do it again? This is a sign that you have to check yourself because you're playing games. Your tawbah has to break away from it. Because why? You turn your back. We say in English, I'm turning my back on you. Right? Like those of us who filed our taxes on time. We're turning our back on 2002. So when we sin, we turn our back. We're not going back. The third one is that you should have a strong resolve in yourself that never ever you're going to do it again. And you do your best. And some arifin billah, they said one of the signs of a true tawbah is that you never go back to it. But this is not a strong opinion because why? وَخُلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِفًا. Everybody makes mistakes. Maybe because we're weak, as this verse I just said in Arabic says that human beings are weak. Maybe somebody goes back because they're weak. There's a fourth condition, but inshallah ta'ala, we talk about it in verse number 12. One day Salman al-Farsi, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting and he ate something and he threw up. And somebody ran and they said, ah, Salman threw up, Salman threw up, Salman threw up. And they was telling everybody his business. That we saw Salman throw up. And Salman, he didn't like this because the Muslim have ird and honor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the 12th verse in Surah Al-Hujurat. O you who believe, O you who profess faith in Allah, avoid some suspicion. Avoid a lot of suspicion. But Allah didn't say all. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Leave a great amount of suspicion. Then Allah says, because some suspicion is a sin. And don't spy on each other. And do not backbite each other. Would any of you like to eat the flesh of his or her dead brother or sister? Of course you would hate that. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts repentance, the extremely merciful. The Shaykh, he explained this verse by saying, O you believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep away from abundant suspicion, for indeed some suspicion is sin. And don't spy, meaning don't try and uncover the faults of people that's been hidden from you. Don't try to become an investigative reporter about your sister or your brother going into their business. But stay out of the business which has been hidden from you. In fact, you should try and hide the mistakes of your brother and sister if it comes to you, because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever hides the fault of his Muslim brother or sister, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hide their fault on the Day of Judgment. And this hadith is authentic, related by the authentic narrators. Also, this includes trying to find out bad news about other people by listening. You know, dipping, they call it dipping. I don't know if you use dipping here in Santa Clara. You dip your ear into their conversation, you know, dip. When two people, you find them talking, and you know they don't want you listening, and you just happen to sit real close. You're like, the masjid, right? This is tajassus. This is spying on others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forbade that. Neither backbite one another. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? He would hate it. And this means that you don't mention something bad about them in their absence. And this can be done by words or actions. Al-ghiba, backbiting, can be done by words or actions. Sometimes we only think it has to do with the tongue, but also it can be from our actions. And the Shaykh, he says, this order comprises everything, the order not to backbite, comprises everything that a person would hate you to say about them. Whether it is with regards to their faith, their worldly life, their character, their physical attributes, their property, their family, their friends, and so on and so on and so forth. Some lessons we want to take from this verse is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us about suspicion. And how many marriages have been destroyed because of suspicion? How many friendships been severed because of suspicion? For example, you come in a masjid and your best friend doesn't say salam to you. And after the salah you say, man, I knew he doesn't like me, man. I knew that he doesn't like me. How come he didn't say salam to me? What's wrong with this guy? Then you see him and he sees you and he says, assalamu alaikum. And you say, you only said salam because you see me looking at you now. This is suspicion. And this happens every week in masajid everywhere. Suspicion. Your friend doesn't call you on the phone. Sister, how come she doesn't call me? I knew she was jealous of my new hijab. I knew she was jealous of my new car. I knew that brother was jealous of me because now I had memorized some Quran. This is suspicion. And shaitan is one of his means of destroying your brotherhood and your sisterhood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as reported by Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he says, إِيَّاكُمْ مُضْضُنْ. He says, I warn you, or be careful about suspicion. فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Because indeed suspicion is the most false type of speech that there is. And this hadith is related by Al-Bukhari. One important point to know about suspicion is that it always leads to evil. That's why Umar, he reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually Umar, he said, for the leaders of the Muslims, do not act with suspicion to your Muslim followers. Because if you act on suspicion, you're going to corrupt everything. So for example, if I'm an MSA, and I didn't see a brother in the MSA for a few weeks, or a few days, it's good if I miss him and I look for him because I miss him. But don't let me start saying, I know he wasn't down with me, man. I know he wasn't down for the MSA. he's going to go be in the PSA or the AAA or AAA or CAA or whatever type of A you have now. A5A, but not APAC. This is suspicion. Same with sisters. So the suspicion usually leads to evil. And because of this, we have a principle in Sharia that whatever leads to haram is haram. Whatever can lead to something prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in itself prohibited. That's why the glance is prohibited. Because if you're looking, the next thing is you're cooking. And you're going to be in trouble if you go in that direction. So to protect you and me, Allah said, lower your gaze. Subhanallah. Suspicion in the home. For example, sometimes husbands and wife, they fight. Those of you who are not married, welcome to the club. Yes, indeed, it's not all, you know, like it is the first few days. Okay? It can get sometimes rocky. And subhanAllah, this happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they got into arguments. How they handled their arguments was different now than other people, right? Sisters iron your clothes and suddenly she burns a hole in it. I'm not mad. Right? The brother slams the door when he leaves. I'm not upset. The whole house shakes. This is different than how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Aisha would argue. But subhanAllah, one of the ways that suspicion comes between a husband and a wife is we have a fight. Then we get over this fight, and the next day brother the sister doesn't warm your matzo meal. Your oatmeal or something, man. Your whatever you eat for breakfast. And maybe she forgot, maybe she's tired because she was fighting all night, so she couldn't get up. And then you go and you find that your breakfast is not ready, and you say to yourself, man, I knew it, man. I knew she was still mad. She's not mad anymore. But this is suspicion. With a sister, the husband, he doesn't smile when he leaves and say, you know, inshallah, I'll be home at 5:01, inshallah ta'ala. I'll see you. Because maybe he forgot. And that night before there was arguing, so the brother, he left. And the whole day, she's going to be thinking. And the whole day, he's going to be thinking, they didn't forgive me. We're still fighting. We still have this problem. When in fact there's nothing there. And sometimes what happens, shaitan plays a double whammy. The husband is upset and the sister's upset. So then when they meet, why are you still upset with me? Well, I'm not upset with you. Why are you upset with me? Boom. Another night of George in the jungle. Yeah. Another night of fighting. With our kids. Sometimes some of the Muslim youth, they come to me and they say, Mom, my parents don't trust me. I go somewhere, I went with, I tell them I'm going to go. I come back and they ask me, where you been? I said, I went to that place. They say, oh, come on. I was young once, like you. I said, wallahi, yeah, that's why I went. No, I know you didn't go there. What happens when you keep doing this with your children, man, you break the trust. But also children and young adults don't do things to let them not trust you. Because if you do things to let them not trust you, then they have a right to suspicion you Islamically. And we'll talk about that. We talked about with friends. And these are the areas where we can avoid, yani, suspicion. Notice that in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Leave an abundant amount of suspicion. And then he said, because بعض الظن إثم. Some suspicion is sin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say all suspicion. He said some. The ulama, they divided suspicion into the following parts. The first is the suspicion which is an obligation on you to have. And this is the good suspicion that you have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That always we feel everything that's with Allah is khayr. Everything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. From His orders, to His prohibitions, to His commands, to His promises. Everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. Maybe someone says, can we have a suspicion with Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith which is Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي. I am to my servant as my servant thinks I am. So how I think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, you want to get married And you're like, man, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. I'm not going to marry this person. Man. Check yourself. Be realistic, but inshallah, say alhamdulillah, if it's good for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it for me. I'm never going to get a job, man. No, but there's no jobs available here. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not. Don't say that. Be careful. When you have hard times, make sure you have this good suspicion. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ مِنْ حُسْنَ عِبَادَةٍ. That a good suspicion is from the excellence of one's worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This good suspicion with Allah and His Messenger and the believers in general has three parts, and we mentioned it. First, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is always there for the Muslims as soon as they go back to Allah. Sometimes when you sit with Muslims, they say, hey, Allah is not going to help us, it's over with, khalas, we're lost. Be careful. But realize that His help, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٍ. It's close, as he mentioned in this verse. The second is that I should have a good suspicion towards the halal and haram of this deen. So if I'm having trouble obeying Allah in some areas, let me know that this is completely good for me. That I should do it. The third is that sometimes we feel my actions will never be accepted by Allah. This is very dangerous. And this is a trick of shaitan. Yeah, we should be worried if our actions are accepted, but if we try to have ikhlas and follow the sunnah, inshallah we're scared that our actions aren't accepted, but still we always have this hope that our actions will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type of suspicion is the forbidden suspicion. And this is the suspicion which is the suspicion of su about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the Sharia, where we have a bad suspicion about Allah. يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran that the people had a suspicion about Allah, which is a suspicion from the times of ignorance. And what are some examples of the bad suspicion? Is number one, that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Allah will never forgive me. This is an incorrect suspicion about Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never give up on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other places Allah said, whoever gave up on Allah's mercy, then this people is astray. And also as someone involved in the da'wah, I should make sure that when I'm giving da'wah to the people, I don't cause them to give up on Allah's mercy either. And there are some people like this. When they give da'wah, subhanAllah, they said, mashallah, I was very effective, alhamdulillah, I did a great job. Why? Wallahi, they're over there crying, and they have the blood pressure on their arm, and they said, khalas, I'm going to hell. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, na'udhu minallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes we quote this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ. If you knew what I knew, you'd laugh little and cry much. And we stopped there. And the companions, they started crying. But the hadith continues with an authentic sanad. That after the Prophet told them, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ. If you knew what I knew, you would laugh little and cry much. Then the companions just started crying. Then the Prophet left them. Then Jibreel, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, do you let them despair from the mercy of Allah? Then the Prophet, he went back to them and said, اللَّهُ غَفُرْ رَحِيمُ وَبَشِّرُوا this. So it's important also when I'm involved in the da'wah, that I talk about the bad things, but always I open the door of tawbah to the people. That you can repent and you can go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the proof in these two verses. That in the end of the last verse Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبَ فَأُولَئِكُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Who didn't repent will be from their oppressors. But the one who repented inshaAllah will be from مُفْلِحُونَ. Then at the end of this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ رَحِيمٌ. After mentioning all these horrible sins, Allah is the forgiving, the one who exercises mercy. So to give up on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last one is that we should not die in the forbidden suspicion without having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you are forbidden to die. Let anyone who dies, let them that they must have a good suspicion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next type of suspicion is the encouraged suspicion. And that is if you see a Muslim doing something good, you assume, okay, that they're good. If you see a Muslim doing something bad, you see it as it is. But when you see the Muslim doing something bad and you're sure it's bad, you don't tell the people, you go and talk to the person directly. Because the da'wah, you have to make sure is not based on suspicion. The proof, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was given the khutbah in Jum'ah, and that man, he walked into the Salat of Jum'ah and he sat down. What did the Prophet say to him? Did he say to him, لِمَاذَ لَا تُصَلِّي? How come you didn't pray? Or did he say, أَصَلَيْتَ أَمْ لَا? Did he say to him, why didn't you pray? Or did he say to him, did you pray? He said to him, did you pray? And Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi explained why. Because the Prophet, he doesn't want this guy to feel that the Prophet is suspicioning him. So he said to him, did you pray? قَالَ لَا. He said, no. Then the Prophet said, pray. So now when we deal with people, maybe we didn't see them in the masjid for a few days. When they come to the masjid, we don't say, how come you don't come to the masjid anymore? Or if we don't see the sister for a few programs, where you been? What's going on? But we say to them, you know, I missed you. How's it going? Ah, yeah. Wallahi, it's nice to see your face again. Ahlan wa sahlan. Then if there's a problem, I'm sure they're going to let you know about it. The last point, as we run out of time, and we didn't have time even to finish the verse, is that we should avoid, is the allowable suspicion. The suspicion which is mubah. And this is the suspicion of the faqih, the one who deals with Islamic law when he has to make ijtihad, when he has to come to a religious ruling. His dhun, according to the ulama, is allowable, because he qualifies as a scholar. Also the suspicion when you pray and you're not sure how many rak'ah you prayed, what are you supposed to do? If you're praying asr and you think, man, I only prayed three, what should you do? You should pray four. And this is suspicion. And the ulama said this type of suspicion is ja'is. Also, if you made wudu and you prayed dhuhr, then the time of asr came, and you're thinking to yourself, do I have wudu? What should you do? وَإِنَّ ظُنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنْ حَقِّ شَيْئًا. You got wudu. And this is allowable according to the Sharia. The last one, as we stop now, in tonight's program, is that we should avoid as Muslims anything which allows people to suspicion us. We take this from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Safiyyah bint al-Hiyy. We mentioned her earlier, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Safiyyah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was led by al-Bukhari, he was making i'tikaf, and Safiyyah, she came to visit him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took her home, he was walking her home. And as he was walking with her, some of the Ansar, they saw him walking with this woman in the dark. And this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, hey, hadihi Safiyyah bint al-Hiyy. He said, hey, this is my wife Safiyyah bint al-Hiyy. Then they said to him, Subhanallah ya Rasulullah. How could we think that she was hanging out with a girl or something like that? Then the Prophet said to them, indeed shaitan, he traveled through the people like the blood in their veins. Subhanallah, those brothers and sisters in college who at night you talking on the phone to some girl that you ain't married to for hours and hours, and you know that you might not even marry that girl, but you steady talking to her. Shouldn't you be shyer than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What about the Muslim brothers? I was at De Anza 2 days ago to get some paperwork done for my taxes. So I was already in a bad mood. I said some crazy stuff there. No offense to our brothers from MSA. I'm talking about the non-Muslims, not the Muslims. But I could only imagine what the Muslims might be doing. But I didn't want to have any suspicion. But just to warn you, imagine if you're walking across the campus, oh Fatima, I love your mouth biryani. And everybody in the world watching you, shouldn't you be shyer than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who Allah going to forgive him for his sins? What about us when we're at our workplace and we lie on the job? We do some funny business. Shouldn't we be shyer than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have some people suspicion us? So the Muslim, by their nature, they don't do things to allow people to suspicion them. The leadership of the communities has to be in Salatul Fajr, because they are the leadership of the community. If they don't come to the Salawat, people gonna suspicion them. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وإيش قام الصلاة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the people in charge of the affairs of the masajid are those who believe in Allah and His Prophet, and they establish the salawat. We can't let people, and I'm the first one, throw their eyes on us if we didn't do our job. So this is the last point we take about suspicion, because maybe someone says, my mom always suspicions me. Well, quit being shady like Slim, and she quit suspicioning you. My father always thinks I'm bad. Quit doing bad things and he'll quit suspicioning you. So this is the last point, that we have to leave those things which cause the other people to suspicion us. And that's why Imam Shafi, as I finished, he said that I have made some things haram on myself because I am Imam Shafi. I have made some things forbidden just in my personal, not in his fiqh, but in his personal practice. Why? Because of who I am. If I do it, people are going to have a bad opinion about me. Zakum Allahu khair, inshallah. Next week we continue about backbiting and spying, and also the foundations of this behavior system of the Muslims. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.